morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for a game this upcoming Sunday against the Chicago Bears. Big showdown. Packers can win the NFC North with a victory. To talk about that game and to get some perspective into the city of Chicago, we have Cheesehead TV's very own John Rayhord joining us. John, how you doing this morning?
Good, Brian. Thanks for having me on. How are you today?
No problem. I'm doing great. Thank you for joining us and for our Chicago in Focus feature here as we do most road games here at Railbird Central. Now, John, you live in Chicago. I'm sure you could go on for probably an hour, maybe multiple hours, talking about what it's like to be a Packers fan and growing up a Packers fan in Bears country, but can you give us a little bit of an idea?
It's been tough. Not tough now, because we have a Super Bowl trophy hanging over their head that we, clinched the championship game in Soldier Field. It's an interesting perspective that you really can't describe unless you've lived here and have gone through and seen some of the stuff that I've seen on the Packer fans have seen during my life. It really is beyond words to see some of the stupidity that you experience from the Bears fans.
I can imagine. I can imagine. It's not always things get heated and people do stupid things when they cling to a team and cling to that fan that they just can't outgrow.
Exactly.
Anyway, let's talk about the city of Chicago here. If Packers fans are coming to Chicago, they're in town for the game, they're spending the weekend, what's a tourist attraction or two that somebody might do? Let's say they're in town Saturday and they got, the whole afternoon to waste. What's something somebody could do?
Well, see, I'm a big dork, so I like going to museums and things like that. And right around Soldier Field, you're in the heart of Museum Central. You've got the Adler Planetarium and the Field Museum literally within walking distance of Soldier Field. You got the Art Institute right downtown. It's a short drive over to Michigan Avenue, and Michigan Avenue is world-renowned for its stuff. There's just lots of stuff to do around there.
Mm-hmm.
If you were going to take a nice day trip and just go downtown, I would suggest starting off at one of the museums, heading over towards one of our famous pizza joints. There's a Lou Malnati's shortly a little bit south of Soldier Field. I think it's at 800 South State Street, which is about a mile and a half away or so. And I would circle back and all the museums. If you're going to go to one museum, one I would pick is Science and Industry, which is at 5700 South, so it's a little bit of a drive further down. But definitely, museums, food, and nightlife. I mean, go on Google and Google Chicago nightlife. It's literally pages and pages and pages of bars and clubs and things to do. One day, you can't experience everything down there. You really have to go down there with a plan. So that would be my plan.
Well, what is a suggestion, kind of maybe in the downtown area, the stadium area, if I'm going to go out to eat then Saturday night, where would you suggest I eat?
First thing I would do is I would try to make a reservation, because Saturday night going into the downtown area, it's going to be busy.
Yes.
I'm a pizza aficionado. Love my pizza. I would say Blues or Geno's East. The nice thing about Geno's East is there's one right off of Ohio. That'll basically put you right in the heart of the nightlife area. And beyond that, you can figure out what you want to do from there. Luminati's is fine. I'm a Geno's, but that's just, I would go pizza.
Now, is this the classic deep dish pizza?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. If you go to Lou's, get the butter crust. You have to get the butter crust.
Okay. I'm unfamiliar, but so what makes that so good?
Take cheese plus dough plus butter, and it just kind of all mixes together and creates a very nice, buttery, crusty, just heaven. of a pizza.
Sounds good to me. All right, it's Saturday night. Dinner's over. I'm going out to get some drinks. I'm going to hit the bar scene, do the nightlife. Where am I going to go here?
Well, I would go home because I'm an old man. But if I was going to hang downtown, jeez. I know there's a couple places out on Navy Pier that are open. I forget the name of the joint. There's one right off of Fullerton that's in the DePaul area. God, what is the name of that place? This is what happens when you get old and you forget.
Been a while since you've done the nightlife thing.
It has. I will effort to find the name of that place on Fullerton, and I will put it in the live chat.
Because
where I used to go. I seriously can't remember the name of it.
Very good. Getting to the game, though, okay, it's Sunday. Before the game, we're going to go tailgating. First of all, where are we going to park, and what is the tailgate scene like around Soldier Field?
All right, the tailgating scene and the parking around Soldier Field is really strange. It's not like you're going to Lambeau Field where there's lots and actually places to tailgate.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple different lots, and none of them are really that big. There's a 31st Street lot, which you have to pay for, and then you have to take a shuttle over toward the Soldier Field area. You've got the McCormick Place, you've got Burnham Harbor, Soldier Field North, South. The thing about all these places is you have to have a coupon or a parking pass. These things, you have to go on eBay or Craigslist and try and buy one, and they're quite pricey.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you that once you find a place to go, there's a lot of different rules you have to apply. Like, you can't tailgate in the closed parts of the parking decks for obvious reasons. But even so, if you are in the open areas, there's police everywhere. And they want to have open containers of alcohol. They don't want to have tremendous fires. I mean, there's a big police presence in the downtown area or the Soldier Field area, which will limit what you can do. There are places to park on the street, which is bordered off of Roosevelt Road on the north and Stevenson on the south. It's basically from Cermak up to 1200. And then there's a little bit of parking over towards Michigan Avenue on the west. It's like a little picnic-y kind of place to go. Same thing, there's police presence over there. It is recommended that you get there between 3 and 5 hours before the game just to try and find a place to go.
Very interesting.
So the first thing you have to do is find a coupon online so you can actually park in one of the lots, or if you're going to try and park on the street, get there hours early. And even then, if you do have a coupon, you have to get there early. You have to.
Yeah. I always find it weird, you know, I've been doing this for, you know, talking to people in different cities now, and how it seems to be different from Lambeau Field everywhere. You know, I don't know, I'm a Wisconsin sports fan, so I'm used to going to games at Lambeau Field, used to going to baseball games, seeing the Brewers at Miller Park. Both those places, huge lots right around the stadium, just, you know, big concrete areas or blacktop areas. I don't know, is it not like that most other places? And I don't know, John, how much experience you have outside of the Chicago and Wisconsin area either, but I don't know. It just seems weird to me.
You know what? This is just commentary on Soldier Field. When they redid the stadium, it kind of fits with the entire, like, motif of tailgating and community of, you know, football fans. It just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that a town with as many people and as many fans as the Bears have would have a better situation for people to go tailgate at. And they really don't. It's kind of embarrassing. You've got this disaster out on the lakefront where people can't really go to tailgate. You have to maneuver your way around and try and find a place to go. It's stupid. I mean, the Park District has never really thought about the fans when they redid that and how they, you know, wanted to promote the Bears and the tailgating. All that nonsense, it just doesn't work. And when you compare it to Lambeau Field, I can only compare it to, you know, the two, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for a large city to have that kind of an experience sitting right there on the lakefront.
What can they do, though? I mean, is it possible? I mean, you can't just, you know, excavate a whole ton of area and just, you know, make parking lots and things like that. Is it just a matter of, you know, being in such a large city that you can't do anything? I don't know. I'd like to know.
They really can't go anywhere else.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's so congested down there to begin with.
Yeah.
What they could do, and this is, I mean, I'm not in charge of the town, if they were to somehow rent out part of, like, the McCormick Place parking lot, and really just make that like a tailgate place and run buses to and from during the entire game.
Yeah.
That would be a smart idea. If you take all the money and give it to the city and you're basically letting them tailgate, but then on the other hand, if you have conventions at the McCormick place,
mm-hmm.
well, then you have nowhere for the tailgaters to go. It's just a mess. You know, you could use Grant Park as another example, but Grant Park is one of the, you know, like the centerpieces of the downtown area. Do you really want to have fires and garbage and, you know, drunk and stupid all over the place down there? I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know what they could do at this point other than demolish the thing and start all over.
Let's talk about the game here. Obviously a big game. I set the scene before. Packers can win the NFC North with the victory. The Packers are heading in the right direction. The Bears are heading in the wrong direction, but still it's a game where the Packers are taking them on the road. What do you think's going to happen, John? What's your prediction for the game?
I'm going to say 23-13 Packers. I think that, Cutler with a sprained MCL is not going to make things any better for an offense which is struggling to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Robbie Gould is on IR and they have a Wendell Mare, you know, who was out of work for 14 weeks now as their new kicker,
yep.
I think that's going to play havoc. If the winds get swirling downtown, I read yesterday the winds were somewhere between 15 and 20 during kickoff time. I mean, that could make things very interesting, especially for a new kicker on a craptastic field like Soldier Field is. I think the defense on the Bears will stop the Packers just enough, but they don't have enough offense to keep up with the Packers. 23-13.
Yeah, I'm with you there, and I really do. I agree with you that the fact that losing Robbie Gould can actually be quite a big difference in a game like this and what could be a close game. So kind of underrated that you're talking about kickers, but with Robbie Gould being a good one and Alinda Mari being not so good at least anymore, that is certainly a factor. But John, thank you for joining us here this morning. Are you going to the game?
I am not going to the game. I learned a long time ago that I'm not a fan of Soldier Field. I have no desire to go there. Anybody that does go there, good luck. Be safe. They don't bite. They just yell a lot. And hopefully you can walk out of Soldier Field screaming, "Go Pack, Go," while they powder on their way back to the car.
Sounds good. Well, John, enjoy the game from the seat of your couch. I'll be doing the same thing. So enjoy it, and thanks for joining us this morning.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you. John Rahor, Cheesehead TV's own John Rahor, joining us here at Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for tuning in, for joining us here at Railbird Central. Let's get more to about this game. You know, a lot of injury stuff we can talk about here this morning. Of course, the return of Clay Matthews is kind of the biggest storyline, I think, revolving around the Green Bay Packers. They're going to get their best defender back on the field. And, of course, he's known for his pass rush. Clay Matthews is, you know, known for wreaking havoc in opponents' backfields. But he is an all-around player. He knows how to set an edge. He knows how to defend the run. He knows how to play in coverage. He does all those things exceptionally well. So getting him back is a huge boost to the Packers. They will really enjoy his presence, and especially against facing a Bears offensive line that is just, you know, subpar would be putting it mildly. We talked about this the last episode. It's amazing how long the Bears' offensive line has been poor. They haven't been able to improve it over the years, despite drafting, players on the offensive linemen, some of them very high. Heck, Wisconsin's Gabe Kiremi just a year ago, he hasn't quite turned out the way they've wanted him to. But, Clay Matthews, of course, if you remember the first meeting this year, Clay Matthews had 3.5 sacks. So it's a situation where, Clay Matthews could easily have that type of performance again. He'll, you know, frequently be lining up across from Jamarcus Webb, who, you know, again, a guy who's really struggled there for the Bears and a guy who is not a top-flight left tackle. The Bears situation, it is really almost as bad And here we go. We've got somebody calling into the show. We have our friend Alex Talich of First String Public Relations joining us.
All from Alex Talich. To accept, press 1.
Oh, I got to accept this first. Listen to this. Here we go. Alex, are you there?
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Very good.
Calling in Railbridge Central.
Thank you. This is fantastic to have a caller into the show. Normally, everybody likes to interact on the live blog, but I enjoy getting a caller once in a while.
I'll call you. I did some good stuff this weekend. I'll sit with my mantra of passing it on to the Packer fans as much as I can. So
yeah,
I haven't talked in a while, so good.
Yeah.
Good.
Let's hear about the past week or two here. You've done so many things here with Tom Crabtree and First String Public Relations. The big event with Aaron Rodgers this past week. How did that go?
Dude, I'll tell you, it was pretty cool. I got to ride in the limo, of course, with Aaron back and forth to the show, which was cool for me to get to do, I will say. Aaron Rodgers, totally mellow guy. Completely, just going in there, he's parking on the field and has total command of everything he says in all his press conferences and everything. And actually, he's pretty laid back and chill. So it was a cool thing to do, and one of those things that I'll never get to do again, probably. And got lucky. So I don't know if you got any questions, I can fill you in. It was interesting.
Well, what is something we don't know about Aaron Rodgers? What's the scoop that nobody knows that you learned on your trip with him?
Let me see. I gotta tread lightly, of course, and carefully. But here's one, and this was interesting. One of the conversations we had, and actually Aaron brought it up. He asked Tom if he was the most famous person Tom had met, which ended up to the conversation of most famous people we had met. Because apparently someone on the team, Aaron Rodgers, is the most famous person he met, and said that somewhere. So Aaron asked Tom, who was the most famous person he met, if it was him. And Tom couldn't decide if it was Aaron Rodgers or Dave Grohl. But anyway, most famous person Aaron Rodgers has ever met, he says, is Michael Jordan. He plays golf with him all the time. And that tops our NFL MVP's most famous person he's ever met list. And I thought it was an interesting conversation to come up that, maybe Aaron to his teammates is probably the most famous person these guys may ever meet. And I thought it was an interesting topic. And it was a cool one to talk about.
I saw on Twitter, just came across one of your tweets that said, "No, there is no official Aaron Rodgers Facebook page," and I assume he told you that. You maybe asked him that while you were with him.
I sure did. Actually, here's how the whole story went. Do you know about the little kid who made the Aaron Rodgers 12-12-12 rap? Have you seen that video that Aaron talked about on Green and Gold today?
I have not seen it, but I did see a couple references to it, of course, on Twitter in the past few days.
Anyway, there's this little kid. He was 11, and he has a golden birthday. It was 12-12-12, and a little cute white kid, short, whatever. Had his Aaron Rodgers jersey on, and his dad filmed, and he made this rap for Aaron Rodgers, hoping Aaron would somehow unbelievably see it, Anyway, I had seen it like a week before, and it's actually super pretty cool. The kid does the seed and the cake thing like the players do on the field, and it was a good video. So I asked Aaron if he had seen it, and he said no, so I handed him over my phone. Yes, Aaron Rodgers touched my phone and pressed play on it, by the way. But he watched this video, and it actually got back to the little kid that made it, that Aaron Rodgers has seen it and kind of made his day. And it was just a feel-good story because Aaron actually, you could tell he enjoyed watching this kid do it. He watched it like 3 or 4 times, and it was a pretty good video. And it got back to the kid that Aaron got to watch it. So, it was cool. But anyway, through the process of that, talking about that, I did ask him if he was on Facebook, and it was a blatant no. We didn't go into a thorough discussion on it, but he's aware there's a lot of fakes out there, and he's not on there. So yeah, that's news, I guess.
His appearance raised money for the JDRF, the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation that Tom supports. As I understand, did they do some silent auctions or things like that? How did that all go over?
It went over great. I think we're probably close to raising, you know, at least $10,000 maybe. I would like to think at the end of the day for all that stuff. This is another interesting topic just for fans and things that, you know, always it's really hard to get Aaron Rodgers' autograph. And when we actually got to the hotel, we went in the back way so no one was there, and they actually set everything up in a private room. When Aaron Rodgers does signings, he knows what he has there to sign. That's all laid out, and he goes and signs it because he really needs to protect those signatures. And I know people always complain why won't players sign things, but you know, all these items that he signs gets donated to charity. And if there's too many Aaron Rodgers things out, it actually, you know, hurts his causes. He works, of course, for the MAC Fund and helps other players such as Tom with JDRF. And, you know, these signatures and jerseys sell for thousands of dollars. And, you know, he keeps that pretty private. And I can see why now, because he uses all that, most of that money, and makes sure that it goes to charity. So I thought that was really interesting how that was done and how, the reasons why he often walks back the lines without going on Sharpie.
Very interesting. What's your thoughts about the game this weekend here? The Packers going to clinch the NFC North, Alex?
I'd like to think so. I mean, it's one of those games you always go in kind of nervous because it's down in Chicago, and, you know, they're kind of scrapping for their life. I put in the live blog earlier, for some reason, my gut instinct, it's going to go down like the Giants. Packers, except the Packers are going to play the Giants role. I think everyone feels they're going to have a shot in this game at the beginning, and I think it'll be clear that the Packers are the better team sooner than later in that game. That's my gut feeling. I think they can do it. I don't see why not. They're healthier than ever, and, you know, talking to Aaron even this week, you know, they're getting a lot of guys back, and they're feeling pretty good, and they really love this new Scat Pack guy. Aaron said on Tom's show that he thinks he brings something that the team hasn't had here in years as far as his ability to move and jump and get to the hole. So I'm excited to see another week of him, too.
Yeah, no kidding. DeJuan Harris, all of a sudden, everybody's, like, hyping him up. I'm going to be disappointed if he doesn't do something special now the way people are talking about him. But
his quarterback, so I'm excited to see him.
What's next on the Tom Crabtree vehicle here? What's coming in the future? What are you working on in the next couple? I mean, it's probably hard with the playoffs coming up for him to focus on getting too far ahead of himself.
Pretty much. I mean, what we're going to do is we worked with Tom and pretty hard this month. He's done a lot for charity this past month alone and everything like that with all his appearances. So the plan kind of now is, you know, let's just chill out. He'll do a show every week till the end of the season, and the rest of the time I think he'll just focus on football and move ahead. And of course, I'm busy in January with Corey and the ball, so it'll work out kind of nice. It'll be a break for everyone, and I think a break that Tom just really needs mentally too, so we can focus down the stretch. So
yeah.
Ball's quiet, and yeah. I like it.
Yeah, now for people that don't know, clue us in here a little bit about what you do with in Times Square coming up here in New Year's Eve. I think if anybody doesn't know, they're going to find this pretty cool.
If you don't know, Corey, founder of Cheesehead TV, he's actually the producer of the official Times Square Ball webcast. In Times Square, just a brief overview of Times Square. Everybody thinks of the ball drop on TV and stuff, but Times Square actually rents out little plots to ABC, CBS, different companies like that. And the Times Square ball itself does its own production that's streamed over the web and focuses around the ball a little more and some different performers. And Corey produces that. And I kind of act as the moderator and the voice of the Times Square ball to approximately a million, maybe even a little more this year, that are going to watch the ball drop on this webcast, which is really the only place you can watch it online. And it'll be about a million people. It'll be kind of like a game day Cheesehead TV chat with a million people in it, and a lot of bells and whistles and a live ball drop and everything else. So it's a pretty cool thing, and I'll be in New York standing by the ball for it, and it's going to be pretty fun. If you follow me on Twitter, there'll be pictures, trust me.
It's got to be crazy in New York City on New Year's Eve. I can't even imagine, like, trying to get around. I assume you have a hotel that's pretty close, huh?
I do have a hotel, and then I'll actually be in the One Times Square building the entire time. It's the building that the ball sits on top of, so I'll have a prime seat in a warm place and, you know, be able to look around and do my thing and observe without having to deal with the crowds as much, which will be nice and a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So,
very cool. Excited. Very cool. Well, thanks for calling in, Alex.
Sure. It was awesome. I love Rainbow Central.
All right. See you, man. Alex Tell, it's your
all
first...
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Yep. Alex Tell, it's a First String Public Relations calling in this morning. Great to have him joining us. It's cool. Like I said, you people who sit there all the time and listen to the show, let's check out the live blog. Give me a call once in a while. We'll rap. We'll talk. That's fun to talk about things even a little bit outside the Packers once in a while. But yeah, Alex Talich doing cool things with Tom Crabtree, and then coming up New Year's Eve in New York City for the ball drop, and you know, that is such a huge event. Obviously, I mean, the whole world watches when the ball drops in New York City, and like he said, you know, a million people checking out this event online. Definitely cool. So. You know, where was I here before we got to this phone call? We were talking about a Packers game here, and I did want to make mention of the injury situation of the Bears and how I think this negatively impacts them. We talked about the kicker situation, which I think is totally underrated. Losing Robbie Gould, major stuff there, you know, could be a difference maker there between him and Alain Numare. But I think the possibility of losing Tim Jennings, the Bears cornerback, is huge as well. Bears defense, of course, very good. Not only missing him, but missing Brian Urlacher. Missing Shea McClellan, their first round draft choice, and you know, there's a couple other guys who are injured and supposedly going to play. Peanut Tillman, I think, Lance Briggs. But I mean, you know, these injuries just have, you know, just taking their toll on the Bears, and that's certainly not going to help them. And then on the offensive side, with Jay Cutler, one of their biggest offensive weapons, he's kind of dealing with injuries as well, although he's expected to play. All these things just totally, you know, taking their toll, like I said, and you know, could be a difference in the game as they get ready to take on the Packers on Sunday here. So definitely big showdown. I think the Packers are going to win. I just think, you know, I said it on my interview on K107. There's just so many things going in the Packers' favor. They've got this, you know, 11-game win streak against the NFC North. They've won like 5 straight against the Bears, and what is it, 7 out of the past 8. I mean, just everything is you know, going in the Packers' favor and favors the Packers right now. Just, you know, the way the Packers have won their last 2, but the Bears have lost 4 out of their last 5. I think it's going to be close, just going on the road playing in Chicago. 23-21 Packers is my prediction. So literally a 2-point margin. I hope the Packers blow them out, but I think it's always plus tough playing on the road, and the Bears will be motivated. I mean, this is their season. The Bears lose, and I mean, it's still possible they can make the playoffs, but I mean, if they lose this game at home, the chances of them doing anything in the playoffs is almost nil. So they'll be motivated, and I think they'll come out fired up to face the Packers. But ultimately, in the end, I think Aaron Rodgers, Tom Crabtree, everybody we've been talking about here, Duane Harris, leads the Packers to the victory. Their offense will just is too good. It's too good, as we've seen over the years. But thanks, everyone, for joining us here on Railbird Central. Thanks to John Rahor for giving us his perspective on the city of Chicago in our Chicago in Focus feature. Thanks to Alex Talich for calling in. Thanks to Jamie Jors for directing our live blog. I'm Brian Caravu. We'll see you later, everyone. Have a good weekend. We'll be back on Monday, of course, our usual Oh Snap with Brett Goode feature. Be looking forward to that. And of course, stay tuned to Cheesehead TV for all your news needs all weekend long. So, have a good weekend, everyone. We'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called Gypsy Lane by Conspirator on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone.
Georgia Theater. I can't tell you how excited we are.